RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
We are living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep. The poor and the underclass are growing. Racial justice and human rights are non-existent. We have been lulled into a trance. They have made us indifferent to ourselves, to others. We are focused only on our own gain. That is their primary method of survival. Keep us asleep, keep us selfish, keep us sedated.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here's your host, Michael Storm.
We're off into hour number two, and it's just funny. It's always great getting to talk to Ken as a producer, getting to talk to him during the breaks, because I've been a producer for years too, and so I go through all these same things. I have all these same thoughts as he does too, and we both are entirely aware of what we do on the producer end of things to make life easier on the host. Let's just put it that way. there are any number of little tricks and things that we can do to make it so that things like this go a little bit smoother. It's an interesting thing. I've talked a little bit about it before, kind of inside dope on the radio thing, and there's a psychological explanation for all of it, and it's generally considered a positive thing, and it's the attachment of the listener to the broadcaster, and there's all kinds of intricate little ideas and nuances involved in the relationship, and it becomes more obvious and can be much more troublesome when it's in a situation like this where we're talking about sensitive topics, things that people aren't, they're unhappy. They're unhappy about the political situation. They're unhappy about the financial situation. The things aren't the way they feel or think that they should be, and a lot of times they won't have any other voice. They won't have any other place to express what it is that they're thinking and feeling about these things. And so they develop a relationship with radio hosts on television shows, people who are having conversations and talk to them like I'm talking to you, them, now, very personally and very professionally, and with an air of understanding, of trying to reach positive conclusions and solutions, provide a positive experience, and they develop a relationship with that individual, and it's happened. I remember. Oh, gosh, I wonder how young I was when that happened. Maybe mid-teens, 16, something like that, when Alan Berg was killed. Alan Berg was like a Howard Stern or a Don Imus, but he was in the Denver market, and it was a big deal at the time. You may or may not have heard of it, depending on how close you are to national news, sort of 40 years ago, some time ago for sure. And I just remember it because he was bringing up topics in a local market and talking to people there in that place with him about some of these sensitive topics, political ideas, gangs, racial division. I believe that's what got him killed. I believe it was gang related, and it was something racial ultimately when it came down to it. I was too young at the time. I didn't listen to the guy. I can't give any sort of statement about who he was on the radio, if he was anti-Semite or if he was racist or something along those lines. I don't know. So I can't say if he deserved it or not. But at any rate, he was gunned down, and it was because of his thoughts, his words, his voice in the local market there, and people in the local market who didn't like what he said, who felt that he represented to them every hatred that they understood, every injustice, every misuse and abuse that they've ever experienced throughout their life, and take it out on that individual. So it's an interesting conversation. That's a little bit of scary kind of thing right there, but it's just an interesting conversation, interesting psychologically and spiritually, understanding people and how they can become attached to somebody and a voice or an idea and an ideology, and it can explode in such a manner if they don't have any other way to express it, or don't realize that there's, you know, that their own little world is just it's so small, and that the one person who offends them it probably should be more about being offended than about the person who offends you. We'll have to come back to that conversation again sometime, because I'm only just now thinking about it as it's happening and as I'm enjoying the conversation. So I want to enjoy, excuse me, some more conversation, and we'll talk to Lauren in Ohio. Lauren, how you doing?
Well, no, let's pick up on what you're saying. Let's talk about whiny baby men.
Let's do it.
Whiny baby men. Oh, my gosh. All this whining. And you know what? And it's understandable, okay, because we all went through the schools, public and private, for the last 80 years. They always call it the fourth turning, because by that time, your society is so bad, you have to just do what's right and respect the truth, or you're going down in flames. So that's where we are. We've learned to accept lies. You know, what are they teaching in school? Evolution, global warming, Heather has two mommies, tranny story time. Here's some Satanism for you. Butcher your baby, there's too many people. I mean, and we're paying money, we're paying our tax dollars, and handing our children over. Whose fault is this? I'm a big my fault, my fix kind of gal. Because I don't waste my time. Oh, let's vote. Let's vote again in 2 years. Then we'll get them. Like, what the heck is wrong with you people? It's what do you think would have happened to this country if we kept fighting the British when they'd bring their line and we'd put our line and we'd fire back and forth, and then, okay, it's over. No, we hid behind trees. We're going to take you out in the bars. We're going to take you out in the streets. We're going to take you out wherever we find you, because we know right is right, and we're going to live as free men. That's how it's going to be here in this country. But that's not our spirit anymore. We're a bunch of whiny baby men, a bunch of people who love our comfort to the exclusion of just common sense. You're going to wear a mask and take a shot for something you have to take a test to know you have? Are you kidding me? I mean, just common sense. Why, are you kidding me? A guy that cannot keep a virus off of a computer, Bill Gates, but you're going to trust him to re-engineer your DNA, your body. What is wrong with people? But that's what we've done with the schools. You know, trust your doctors. They know best. No, think for yourself. Doctors have an average life expectancy. The only people that die sooner than doctors are gay people. Sodomites die, 44. Doctors, 54, average age of death. Regular people in the 70s. And that's only half your life expectancy right there. If you'd eat clean food and clean water, but Bill Gates just bought up the middle of your country, bought up all the farmlands, he can plant his GMO-resistant, aluminum-tolerant seeds to feed you with your corn syrup that's mercury alloy processed. And, you know, that's what I mean. It's going to take people getting involved. Get off your fannies. Going and voting every other year does not make you a good American. Putting your kids in school, so you can put a my kid is an honors student, you know, on a, and have your afternoons to yourselves. You know, mothers, what are you doing? And if you're doing all this work, you're working, you're working, you're working for what? So you can have a new car every other year. So you can have, you know, I don't get it. It's like the whole point of this life. I call it 3D me is relationships. So if you're sending your primary relationships away from you 8 to 10 hours a day, and you're having them exposed to a henpecking order of stupid people, and I'm talking about the teachers. My God, there's nothing in school, new math, you know, this Common Core. Did you look at the test results for these kids? Oh, my God. It was bad when I ran for state school board. It's. I mean, the last 6 years, it's just bottomed out. But what did you expect? You won't teach them phonics so they can't decipher a word. You won't teach them real math because you've got a new creative way to do it. It's like government. Oh, let's come together and let's meet all year. It used to be Article 1, Section 4, Paragraph 2, I think is right. I'm doing it from memory. And it said that the Congress shall meet at least once a year, and it's the first Monday in December, unless they shall by law appoint a different day. Then 20th Amendment, hey, wee, let's meet January 3rd and meet all year because these sheep are so stupid they do anything we tell them. Now we're telling them wear four masks and bend over. We're going to shove a Q-tip up your, and all I can say is this is your own fault. Quit being pussies and get up and come together with your mates or your friends or people that are upright and constructive and decide to be constructive in and among yourselves. We're going to have to start our own businesses. We're going to have to, I'm boycotting stores. Menards, they're giving me crap about a mask. Fine, I won't shop there. I went to Lowe's and I told them, hey, I'm shopping here because you don't give me a crap about this. They said, yeah, a lot of people are doing that. You know, I'm getting ready to boycott Kroger's. They're going to boycott My Pillow. Okay, when I go down there this last time, I'm going to tell them, hey, you know, this is why I'm not shopping with you. And I'm going to walk across the street to the Aldi's where prices are cheaper, but I got to pack my own stuff. It's a little bit of energy, but these are big operations. They have high overhead. It doesn't take everybody to hurt them bad.
Right. It actually doesn't take that much at all. It reminds me early back on when COVID started. I jumped right out there and I said to Walmart and everyone else, I said, look, if you guys want to push this mask thing, you want to continue on with this fraud, I think that it's going to cost you a lot of customers. And you won't see it in maybe the you know, sort of the places that you have to buy things, the food, the white goods, stuff like that has to be purchased. It's in all of the other purchases. And I've looked back on the last year and I've thought about it myself as being somebody who tends to be a little bit frivolous with money and buy, you know, sort of plastic junk and toys and comic books and things. I've probably saved upwards of about $1,000. Now, okay, so Walmart didn't get $1,000 from me, but I'm not the only person. There's a whole bunch of people that Walmart didn't get an extra $1,000 from this year because they want to enforce masks or they want to, you know, continue with this fraud. Actually, it's actually been pretty good about it. Walmart. I haven't had any problem. I haven't run into any problem at all of anybody telling me I have to have a mask on one time.
No, legally, they can't, okay, because, you know, the Americans with Disabilities Act, you can't discriminate, and practicing medicine without a license, you can't just, it's like fluoridation, it's mass medication of the population to their detriment. It causes cancer and all sorts of, but because we're lazy and ignorant, and we just go along and get along, you know, you go to the airport and they scan you and they seal up your 10-year-old daughter and, you know, it's gross, but it's our own fault and we can change it any time is the point that I'm trying to get people to understand. You can there's a guy, Kelby Smith, hisadvocates.org. And what it is, it's two statuses, two passports. I've just signed up myself and my daughters, you know, my kids, so my children. But my point is, what you're doing is you're canceling any contracts. Now, I have children that were born at home. There were no contracts. They're proof, like according to the U.S. passport application, birth certificates, if you don't have one, Bible. So, yep, that's what we're using, Bible entry, you know, and they have forms that you fill out at your government. It's just, the point is, they've lied to us and made this illusion. I call it verisimilitude. It's the appearance of truth. You think that the world is one way, that you can't be a king, that you can't rule your life, control your children, tell them butt out of your business. But that's not true. And what I'm saying is I've been doing it, and I don't have any paperwork. I don't need any paperwork. It's whatever I say it is. God made the men. The men made a club. The club made rules, codes, regulations, and statutes to manage the maids and the butlers of the club. Just because you're willing to tolerate the maid and the butler up there doing it in your bedroom, wearing your jewelry while they got you in the basement and your wife in the scullery cooking the food, I mean, if you're willing to put up with it, you know, what you tolerate will continue. But
it's great that you bring that up, because that's exactly that meme that I shared today. If anybody goes to towardanarchy.com and looks for January 31st, you scroll down. I shared this meme, and a bunch of the things that you just hit on are in this meme, including talking about record of live birth, versus a certificate of birth, a corporate logging of property for the state, things like that. So it's awesome that you bring that up.
Well, I mean, and so this is when people are saying, hey, let's break off Texas. No, that's the whole point. They want you to keep separating and separating. It's like what we did to the Indians. And I'll tell you what, I'm on the Indian side, four different tribes, and on the conqueror side, Raymond Demery, aide-de-camp to George Washington, sneaking across the Ohio River, even though the treaty with the Indians said they would stay from over there. And they said, you're dumb if you don't go see what there is. And they came over and snatched that land. They said, as soon as we get enough of our people in here, we're going to go for it. Well, what are they doing right now? Importing all these immigrants, all this stuff. They're doing it with your tax money. And so what I'm saying is hisadvocates.org. Change your status. You don't have taxes that are due. And a free man doesn't owe the fruit of his labor to anyone. The Bible says you owe no man anything but love. And so what I'm saying is this is common sense, that somebody steals the fruit of your labor before you get it, that you pay more for taxes than you do for food, clothing, and shelter for yourself. It's crazy. But it only happens because you're willing to go along with it. And a lot of people I know feel helpless to do anything about it. But what I'm telling you is the easy thing is obey the 10. And I'm talking about the 10 commandments, even if you want to skip the first four, okay? But don't steal. Don't murder. Don't covet. Don't bear false witness against your neighbor. Get up off your behind and do something for yourself.
That was for my benefit, the thing about the first four, wasn't it? Because I've been very clear about the reality of the value of the you know sort of lessons in the Christian ideology and the teachings and things there. And it reminds me of George Carlin, because he makes that a distinction about how the commandments, you can break them down into about one commandment. He goes through a whole list of things, but. At any rate, yes.
Well, the good thing is, I mean, there's a lot of atheists, but does anybody want to be stolen from? Does anybody want to be lied about? Look how this FBI keeps running around setting people up.
No, of course
not. So what I'm saying is it's common sense, and it just is respect. Respect for each other and respect for the truth. Now, where you stand relative to the truth, if you want to take that lesson, that beating, that thrashing, that getting broken down because of your disrespect and your unwillingness to yield to that which is true and constructive, go ahead. You know, you want to shoot heroin, I don't care, but I'm not going to pay for your dentist when your teeth fall out. I'm not going to pay for your funeral. I'm not going to, you want to shoot your children up with vaccines? I'm not going to pay for your brain damaged child, your retarded child. That's your problem. You made it. You take care of it. Because when your personal responsibility is involved, generally people don't do that broken thing, that damaged thing, that troublemaking thing. You don't throw a glass down in your own kitchen. You got to clean it up. Why would you do that? Now, there's people that are out of control. They're full of mercury. They've got their anger management issues because of all the toxins in the body. But what I'm saying is it's an easy thing to clean your body up, clay, charcoal, okay? It's an easy thing to kill the pathogens in your body, super silver, 30 parts per million. I mean, if you've never been to thepowerhour.com, go there. Listen to Dr. Sherry Rogers, medical doctor, 4 degrees. Any time from March 13th all the way to the end of April in the second hour. And she's going to tell you this is a bioweapon that they're throwing at you. But you know how you fix it? You just, vitamin D. It closes the door.
Vitamin D. Lauren, thank you so much for the call. I really appreciate your participation. We got to go to a break. We'll be right back on Toward Anarchy.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We want information. Information. Information.
Who are you?
The new number two.
Who is number one?
You are number six.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
TowardAnarchy.com, that's the best place to go to follow along, TowardAnarchy.com. Look for January 31st. Just click on the archive if you're not with me live, and it's not right there on the front page. January is not hard to find in there since it's the first month of 2021, and that's all there is. That's all there is to share so far in 2021. It's been – I thought about doing just – I'm remiss to say a prediction show, so I didn't. I didn't do it at the beginning of the year because I really couldn't come up with a better word than predictions, and it wouldn't be like I really wouldn't be trying to predict things. I would just be suggesting that reality is headed a certain way, but that I kind of do that every week anyway, it just in passing in conversation of the things that I talk about. TowardAnarchy.com, January 31st, buy a t-shirt. I'm happy with them. I feel good. It's a nice comfy shirt. I'm wearing one right now. It's great. I'm really enjoying the fact that they came out nice, because I'm always I resist to do that. I early on in the show I put together I made some shoes. I made shoes. I decked them out in yellow and black, a really nice pair of kicks. You know, some high top shoes to sport around in, and all decorated with the show logo and the name, and I can get them produced, and they're a nice Italian handmade leather. They're just a wonderful looking sounding shoe, but I don't have one in my hand, and they run almost $300 for a pair of them, and they want me to just start throwing these out there and having people buy them. I'm like, no, I can't do that. I need to see it. And I wasn't willing to drop. So that tells you something that I didn't share. I wasn't willing to drop $300 myself to find out if it was a quality enough product. Why would I drop $300 to raise, you know, about $500? That's about what it takes to make the show happen every year. It pays for the website and pays for the certificate and the hosting space and the actual website itself, the domain name, because that's part of the controlled centralized technology that was mentioned earlier in the show, that's making it harder for particularly conservative voices to have a place. And I shared a link there. I bring this up because this is a thing. It's been going on for a long time. You guys think that I maybe don't pay attention to some of these things, particularly if it comes to people who maybe believe that they're on the right spectrum, the political right side of things, particularly if they're Christian, because I don't harp on these things and I don't place particular value in them myself. But I do. I pay attention to these things because they matter to liberty. They matter to the individual. Your choice to believe in your God, your choice to say the things that you say about the things that you know, about the things that you don't know, about the people that you like, about the people that you don't like. I believe that these are all things that you should be able to do, regardless of whether you call yourself a politician, a politically inclined individual on the right, or the left, or anything else. The fairness doctrine is a thing that it took over right away, even before the FCC, dates all the way back. But pieces of it have become worse, and they apply across the board in the ideology, the things that drive them. The fairness doctrine is that idea that RBN doesn't have to do it because RBN is not a FCC communications licensed radio network in that sense. It's a private network that operates outside the FCC requirements because it doesn't directly broadcast over terrestrial communications methods. It's like cable TV. It's in that sense. You have to go and sort of subscribe to it. You have to go find it. You have to bring it to you. But the fairness doctrine applies to anything that's called public communications. So while it doesn't apply here, it applies to what most people consider to be the public communication system, the local networks, the local radio stations. It's been enacted again in pieces over many, many years, but it iterates itself in this idea of being fair to political ideology. And so that if your station, your network is politically inclined to the right, you have to provide X amount of time, X amount of voice to the left. That's Fox Network. There's a remnant and that existed on the Fox Network over the years. It's gone now, but it was a direct answer to a thing like this fairness doctrine. And that was Hannity and Combs, where you have what appear to be the political right and political left voices both having their say at the same time. And it's in the reason that I share the link up there is because it applies today, and it's, you see, it's what's happening across the social media. It's pressure from government on these private communications networks to silence voices that are voices that have any individualism to them, any power about them. I expressed this earlier in the show, that is greater than the state. The individual is greater than the state. The state doesn't exist without individuals perpetuating it. God would be a higher power than the state. So these things are demonized by the state, actively demonized. The state goes out of its way to abuse and silence the individuals who express the ideas of individualism and religion. You can't, it's hard to sometimes separate extremism from individualism, because an extremist would be an individualist or very much on the extreme end of things, whereas most things are in the middle. They'll be on the extreme where there's fewer. So you get this idea that, yeah, maybe there's this potential for a negativity to arise from a certain place, or if certain voices are allowed to continue. But it's always the better argument. I've made this argument, and many others have made it before me, that it's more important to let those voices speak for themselves. Give an asshole enough rope and he'll hang himself. Okay, that's what I'm getting at. And this is what will happen with you if you let people speak. If you let hate run its mouth, the people who aren't interested in hate avoid it. They stay away from it. Those voices are over there on their own. They're naturally compartmentalized. They're not using force or coercion or any other method other than sort of literal market choice in letting those voices become as marginalized as they can possibly be by their own actions, their own words. They're marginalizing themselves through them making themselves known as hate. Nobody, even if you agree with the religious ideologies of someone like a Fred Phelps and his family. I live in Topeka, Kansas. They're just down the road from me. They were out again the other day. They're out all the time. Fred, of course, is dead these days. But it's the Westboro Baptist Church. And there are a whole bunch of people who believe in God who absolutely decry what the Westboro Baptist Church does. You understand a pretty obvious difference there. But I shared that link about the fairness doctrine because it's just a little bit of history, and it's geek radio stuff and the sort of thing that I like to share every once in a while. I sit on a man's back, choking him and making him carry me, and yet assure myself and others that I am very sorry for him and wish to ease his lot by all possible means except getting off his back. Leo Tolstoy said that, and as always, I shared a link there for Leo on Wikipedia just to find out. You know, he's an author, and he was up for – he never did get a Nobel. He was up for a Nobel, a couple of different ones over the years, but he never did manage to win one. And I just have to mention again, because it's come up in really all of the conversations that we've had so far, by the way, 1-800-313-9443. If you'd like to get in, we'll have a little bit more time. I'll try to take another call or two, I suppose. There's still quite a bit of time left, 20 minutes or so. It's already come up a couple of times in the conversation, and so I wanted to point it out again. If you go to January 31st, toward anarchy.com, and scroll down, there's this meme, and there's, as usual, there's nobody to credit to. I don't know who put it together, having the clue where it came from originally, but it found its way to me. And I really liked it because I've talked a little bit about stuff like this on the show. I know that people across the network are very familiar with these ideas and many of these principles. And so I thought it would be really cool to give that to you, because you can take that, you know, if you visit the website on your phone, like people used to do before apps did it all for them, if you visit the website on your phone, just turn your phone sideways and the site looks awesome. And all you have to do is tap on that and hold down on that image, and you'll be able to save that to your phone or automatically share that across the social media, across any of the platforms that you're on. Real easily. And I just thought it was neat because I know I love to talk about this stuff. It's really hard to find people that are really knowledgeable in it without it becoming a super dry conversation about a really common law, lawful action versus legal action, and the institution of legality within the institutionalized idea of legality that exists within statutes, acts, codes, the public legal system that has been foisted upon us. It's de facto. It's been pushed upon us, as opposed to de jure, our choice, our private lawful choice for justice and dispute arbitration, whereas the idea of the de facto law is to make you in lots of cases go along with commercial law. That's really what it comes down to. We're talking about corporate identities versus individuals versus humans, real people. And so it's a really long conversation, and there's all these interesting things that have occurred throughout history, certainly in America. Frank L. Baum's writing of The Wizard of Oz that seems to allude to these conversations about how our existence is created and foisted upon us to exist within this corporate structure. And I encourage you to take a look. It's a very interesting thing, and it's a very real thing. It's something I believe at heart because it makes sense. It goes along with the idea that we're all people and that none of us really owe anything to the other one, that our polite society is such that it is because we choose to act the way we do with other people voluntarily, not because these other things are foisted upon us. There's this de facto code, these laws are forced on us. But and it really gets, just to hit on this idea, it really becomes tough for somebody who gets economics on that core personal level, when you understand the reason economics should be considered to be a certain way is because this is human action. This is the way people will act when these things, these ideas, these needs, these wants are presented before them. And so this all fits together. These things fit together. It's obvious that to me that they fit together, even though I'll look at this corporate structure and say, okay, this is an actual market thing. And this is where I lose some people and have to have a larger conversation with people, that this corporate legal structure, incorporation, the idea of creating fictional corporate entities to exist within a corporate state is a valid process. It's a valid natural process. The reason that exists as a codified process is because it's such a natural process that the people, the merchants that want mercantile law, commercial law, foisted upon you as opposed to natural law is because it is actually natural, functional market process, a need. There's a place for it that exists within the market. I've tried to explain that just because corporations are instituted by government doesn't mean that people wouldn't incorporate without the state. People will come together and they will pool their money and their resources together, and they will create legal documents that protect themselves and protect their investment from the other people who are invested in it and the people who work for them. These things are all market forces, but they've been co-opted by the state. And so this conversation of jurisdictions, lawful versus legal, the Wizard of Oz, the Wizard of Ounces, the Tin Man, all of these interesting little ideas and concepts are really fun introduction into anarchy and individualism and freedom, believe it or not, because these are the things that speak to the individual and protecting him against society, protecting him against the corporations that come up voluntarily. He's protected because he's a natural entity and he exists with purpose. And it doesn't matter whether or not you question his purpose, because his purpose is his. And you don't get to take that from him. You don't get to leech from him. You don't get to steal his wealth from him. You don't get to be the deciding factor on the wealth transfer. These are all the reason those things happen to you is because they are functional, needed things within an organized structure trying to accomplish change and trying to produce ideas, products, services for other individuals. And you cannot separate them from any sort of reality. What you have to do is not allow them to become politically instituted ideologies, and that's what's happened over the years. It existed before America became America, before it was founded, and they brought it over here, and it took a while for it to take over, but it wasn't too long. It wasn't too long at all before it corrupted the entire idea of our government. And it's the same argument that I've made before. If you look at the Bill of Rights and then you look at the very next amendment to the Constitution, I'm giving the quotes, the very next amendment, it changes from being about people to about civilians, and civilians are products of the state, and the state is a corporate entity. This was already a well-known thing, well-established thing, long before America came along, about a corporate entity and a corporate structure for states, because it's one way for states, for people of a like mind, to be an entity and work with other states who aren't of a like mind. And my God, what a huge conversation. And I've gone way off the rails with it, but it keeps coming up. And I knew that across the network that you guys would really appreciate this particular little meme that I had to share there, because of the fact that it does introduce these ideas to someone and gives them that first jumping off spot into understanding what it's like to be a living, breathing human being versus a corporate, a political asset, warehouse asset. Your birth certificate is a bank note. It's logging you into it's logging your existence into the warehouse of human labor that builds the corporate structure of the state, particularly when it comes to the fraud of the money, the manipulation of the dollar. And what supposedly backs the dollar, so much of a conversation and such a rabbit hole for someone. And it's why I don't talk about it too often. I just try to hit on the observable truths versus the things where you actually have to go and compare it to, like they've done in this list of jurisdictions where they've specifically spoken about innate, unalienable rights versus privileges, benefits, versus the idea of being forced to give what you naturally would otherwise have over to the collective for whatever reason. And it's interesting to look at the psychological aspects of it, because over time they've tried to manipulate the message. The corporations, the mercantile class, has tried to manipulate the question of freedom and what it means to be free, to be free and to be a part of a society, and what a society means over time. And it's what brings somebody to have, you know, sort of 2-hour conversations with someone like me about something like this, or to do it, or to be the guy that does it every weekend, just to try to get some sense of humanity back into a world that exists. It's made up of all these individuals, but it exists as a larger entity. And we can't ignore that. It kept getting put in my face all this past week about dropping out, about being a dropout, drop out of society, go live in a cabin kind of thing. And I said, that's all great if you live in a vacuum. That's perfectly fine if you want to do that. But that doesn't solve the problem. That doesn't free humanity. That doesn't take away the power from the manipulators, whether it's the mercantile class, the banker class, the political class. They're all tied up in together. They're just individuals, and they're people that some of them know what's going on and some of them don't. And what happens is when there's something like some underlying notion of control beneath your reality, you're never going to be free. So in America, we're as free as anybody has ever been, theoretically, on paper. But in reality, we've actually been very much boxed into a particular set or idea of freedoms. It's that Overton window. These are the only freedoms that an individual can see, because this is what they're allowed to see. That conversation I've had over and over again with real people talking about feeling like I live in an oppressed society, and them saying, oh, I don't feel oppressed. Well, that's because you don't know what freedom means. You've never understood what it's like to be an individual, free-thinking person. Not somebody whose every thought is in consideration of, whether they know it consciously or not, of a collective good or an idea of a collective good. It's a really scary sort of notion to think that will man ever be free of it? Because it's such an easy thing to do, to just twist the idea just a little bit, change the idea of slavery into society. Oh, this is what's best for everybody. If we all just start out evenly, then we'll all end up evenly. So nobody gets any advantage. Nobody can be disadvantaged ever. And the problem becomes the arbitrary deciding of who gets to benefit. And when it's all with that underlying control mechanism, then it's all fake. you get this government that builds itself up, and these people that put themselves into power or con you into putting them into power, as the case may be, and they actually believe that the system will function, and that's the best of them. Those are the good ones. Those are the ones that are thinking they might be able to affect some change. They're maybe a little bit idealistic, a little bit overly pragmatic in suggesting that things need to be steered in a certain direction, as opposed to sort of letting chaos and anarchy do their thing. Those are the best of them. The worst of them are the ones that are actually at the center of it, the ones that will continue to push the ideologies forward. They're the authoritarian. Somebody mentioned it earlier about the scary idea of Biden dying off and Kamala Harris taking over. She is an authoritarian leftist. She's scary. We'll be back on Toward Anarchy.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an energy planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Please view, like, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Stop Terrorism. Please contact us if you or anyone you know who wants to be on our show at thetruthpharmacy@gmail.com. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
I hear something saying,
well, don't you know?
That's the sound of the men working on the chain. Gang. That's the sound of the men working on the chain. Gang. All day long they're saying,
WardAnarchy.com. Go, you're looking for January 31st. If it's not right there on the front page, if it doesn't just say Toward Anarchy, January 31st, doing something a little different today, go to the archive. It'll take you there. And that's right there on that page, right at the top, there's these big buttons that you can just click on that give you different ways to share with an email link, a tweet, a Facebook, or if you click the other one, it'll pull up a whole bunch of different options. Just like, share, follow, subscribe. It doesn't matter what platform you're listening on. I see you out there. It's really great being able to do this each week and just watching the people and watching everyone who just love to listen in, and they participate and they share, and I see it. I watch the numbers every week across all the different platforms, whether it's the listening platforms or the social media platforms, and see the shares and the likes and the number of people who subscribe and the number of people who watch, and it just amazes me because it's building. It's just awesome. It's watching something come to fruition, and it's very soothing for the human spirit and mind, especially one that can be as jumbled and looking to try to be in too many places at once. It's something I've been talking to my wife about here recently, trying to get her to narrow her scopes and some of the things that she's doing to lessen some of the stress on her. And I think everybody does this. I think that especially if we're extroverted people or people who are in a position where other people who are listening to us and we feel some need to provide a quality experience and to provide quality information or to do a good job. We need to narrow some of the things that we're expecting out of other people and that we're expecting out of ourselves and concentrate. You can go back to widening those things after you get the ones that are in the narrow scope right. You know what I mean? The basics. When you do the other more complicated stuff, you move on to bigger and better things, as it were, after you get the basics in place and you do the work, the stuff that needs to be done that makes everything else possible. That really is what it comes down to at any given point. And having this conversation with my wife because she's struggling with her job. She's a teacher and things have changed because of COVID, and she's not a person who could do this, at least not on her own. She has this is considered to be one of the things that is the scariest thing in the world to do, and that's to talk to people, to present in front of people, to have people just pay attention to you and watch and listen to what you say for whatever reason might be. It's very scary for people. It's one of the number one fears. And my wife is no different, certainly in that sense. And she's not like me. She hasn't had decades of experience doing it and practicing and trying to be a little bit better at it. And it's been foisted upon her, and because of COVID and changes in the public school system and the way that they're trying to teach the children because of COVID and the politics and just the lot of it. And it's just weighing on her. And she's talking about one of the things that she'll do is she'll bury herself in the work and just try to drown out the noise by surrounding herself in the work, but then the work suffers because she's not concentrating on doing what's best. She's just filling the time with work. And anybody who has any kind of a real, I apologize for that language, a professional job, as it were, you understand the difference. There's something bigger about it. And it amazes me that so many people are so poor at it and actually considered professionals. It really does. The conversation, it was touched on just a little bit, the teacher's thing. And man, I could tell you some stories about the public education system in just a short time my wife and I have been involved with it. That's it for the show. We'll be back next week. You take care.
You're listening to the Republic.